1, 2, 3.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Really?
And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future.
You think? Future events will affect you in the future. Well, I don't think they can affect you in the past. Now, can they? Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Binkley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And I always like the idea that, you know, time travel can, going into the past can change the future, but can going into the future change the past?
Not if time is truly linear. And
actually,
in only one direction.
One short story my college partner and I were working on, he forgot all about it when we were going to try to two time astronauts that NASA was turned over to, time travel was turned over to NASA. And two guys made like a $1 bet that they could stop the Japanese from attacking Pearl Harbor and stopping our involvement in World War II. And what they did is they went to probably one of the most influential Japanese guys, kind of kidnapped him, took him into the future to see what was going to happen at Hiroshima and the destruction it would cause. And they went back and took him back, and he did stop the attack of Pearl Harbor.
I thought you were going to say he did it anyway.
Well, then sorry. One started feeling weird, because then he just realized that his parents met because of World War II, you see. And he just was slowly disappearing because of us not getting involved
like
at that time.
Marty McFly thing, right?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah, where he starts fading from the picture. Whoa, I changed the past. Now it's, hey.
Yeah. But it was a story we never wrote. And my writing partner didn't even remember it. So it's really, Mike, come on.
My boss said you caught on to a certain aspect of our job rather quickly, and I said that's because of Ray Bradbury, and he says, who? I says, well, reading his time travel stories helped me understand how to put things in perspective with the past and the future and stuff, which is extremely helpful in problem solving, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. So I blame it on Bradbury. Some halfway decent skills in problem solving there. I'm done patting myself on the back.
That is interesting. That is interesting. Hadn't really thought of it that way, it is easier to predict things when you know what's going to happen. The best way to know what's going to happen is by using a time machine, right?
There you go. Either that or having a memory that, hey, this happened before. Like going down my street on my bicycle like 50 miles an hour. and shortly thereafter, using up a whole lot of Band-Aids, if you get me.
Yeah, I did that once down a nice big hill on Louisville behind the tennis courts, yeah.
Ouch, ouch.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Pavement is a good teacher.
Yes, teaches you to be more careful. That was the days, of course, before bicycle helmets.
That's why I don't believe in safety helmets. Concrete is an excellent teacher.
It is an excellent teacher. Oh,
it's one of those memories that stick with you.
Believe me,
I had to crash a lot of motorcycles and cars to.
As you become one with the pavement, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a bicycle. I got the first pair of glasses I ever had, Dale. Of course, that's when glasses took 2 to 3 weeks to make and deliver to your optician.
Yep.
My first pair of glasses were guaranteed for 10 years. On the third day, I went over.
You had
I
to
went,
challenge that guarantee, didn't you?
The third day, I went over my handlebars. I broke him in half. We took it back to the doctor, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he looked at it, and he looked at me. And he said, okay, I'm getting another pair, but this one isn't guaranteed. Oh, my.
Kind of went sailing over the handlebars.
With the greatest of ease. It was just that slamming was a little hard.
Yes. Those were the days. Like when you could recover from injuries at a youthful age. But if I had any brains, I would have predicted the injury before it happened. But what are you going to do? We got a great story about prediction today, the Halliday prediction.
The Halliday prediction, yeah. And as you point out,
this?
With Tony Roberts and Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, I always thought she was. Is my motor running? No, that I always
yes.
thought she was an extremely attractive lady.
I did too. I do, and she was still probably is.
No
it's
doubt.
Amazing that how many of those actresses, if they decide to keep working on things like that they can hold up pretty well in time.
Hey, a ton of plastic surgery, you're in there.
Yeah. But yes, another fine tale from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater on this one again on with our weekend topic of predictions.
Yeah, and
prediction.
An interesting story. We've got, like you said, Morgan Fairchild.
Mm-hmm.
And this is
on the Tony
about
Roberts,
a guy that
Robert
is a newspaper column. We're not going to spoil
right.
it for you, but ESP or something involved. We'll have to see.
Yep.
Fogsbean, good old Bob, join us in the chat.
Along with Gar, getting ready for his show at 8 o'clock tonight.
That's right, Horrible Horror, right after. We're done here at 8.
On Twitch TV.
Twitch. Well,
I can't think if I've ever really... I did have a neck twitch for a while once back in when he first moved to Norton. I kind of had a little nervous twitch going on there. Other than that,
good old Bob. My wife, Morgan Fairchild. Yeah, that's the ticket.
She was telling me what fun was doing this program.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, your ticket to entertainment coming right up here as we're going to probably kick things off with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, the Halliday Prediction. Do we have an episode number and first run date?
Why, of course we do. It was episode number 506, and it was first broadcast on August 12th of 1976.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I'm going to guide you into and back out of, I do hope, a world where things do not always follow the straight and comfortable paths we're accustomed to. But stay close. Don't wander away. There is violence in this world we're visiting. Violence and other unpredictable things. Although we will witness some uncannily accurate predictions.
Laura, hold the groceries while I open the door.
You've got a very dark apartment.
I'll turn some lights on as soon as I've locked up. Captain. You came a little earlier than I expected you.
Well, Cash, I wasn't 100% sure of my welcome, so I figured I'd come over early.
How did you get in? I don't think I left the door unlocked.
Oh, come on, Halliday. A simple little lock like that one.
Cash, don't just stand there. Aren't you going to throw him out?
You see that bulge in his jacket just under the left armpit, Laura?
Oh.
Throwing him out could turn into a pretty bloody affair. And I'm afraid the blood would be our own.
Our mystery drama, The Halliday Prediction, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Field and Farrington and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I love a good mystery, don't you? And one of the best I've read is The Black Tower by P.D. James. This is no mild English country house mystery. Oh, no, my friend, not this book. The Black Tower is a mystery chiller of the first rank. Commander Adam Dalgleish of Scotland Yard arrives at a prim nursing home on the English coast, only to find it has become a labyrinth of inhuman terror, lurid poison pen letters, and murder. A saintly man of God slain by an act of satanic evil, and the secret lies hidden in the strange, isolated building known as the Black Tower. Excitement builds page by page until Adam Dalgleish comes to the terrifying dramatic climax. With him, you will discover that the murderer is... in the last few chapters of the book, of course. Read it. The Black Tower, available in paperback from Popular Library.
Jerry Jolly wants you to ski free season long. You can do just that with your savings at Jerry Jolly's 6th annual backdoor sale. Every ski shop has good ski equipment, but Jerry Jolly has the very best and at very best prices in Colorado. Boots starting at $299. That's right, only $299. Skis as low as $999. Down parkas values to $70 from $1,195. Henry Charles Colson A fashion suits for men and women, regularly up to $350, now starting at $98 at Jerry Jolly's. Tons of new season sweaters starting at $19.95. OTA skis by Rossignol, regularly up to $200, start at $99. Topher sweaters and suits, 40 to 70% off. Don't miss sensational discounts on the famous Hansen Riva boot, now selling for only $60. Remember, ski free season long with your savings at Jerry Jolly's spectacular backdoor giveaway sale. 788 West 8th Avenue, Denver.
One of the mysteries that has intrigued man ever since he became a thinking creature is the future. 5 minutes from now, a day, a month, a year from now. The impenetrability of it, the unpredictability. And yet, there are those who do venture predictions, and sometimes with astonishing accuracy. Cash Halliday is a widely read and highly controversial columnist on the Daily World Express in one of our major cities. At this moment, he's answering an urgent summons from his city editor.
Come in, Cash. Cash, we're cutting out your weekly predictions.
Oh, now, just a minute, Kelly. Those predictions are the hottest thing you've got, and you know it. If you think you can...
Good choice of words, hot. Libelous might even be better. Your prediction comes out every Friday, and I spend the weekend sitting around the house waiting for the phone to ring. Somebody bringing a libel action.
Nobody ever has.
That's got nothing to do with it. Your regular stuff is bad enough. You're always right on the brink of disaster.
So what do you want from me? Advice to the lovelorn? Social notes from all over? I'm a reporter, Kelly. A reporter turned columnist. I deal in hot stuff.
Like this, for instance? Let me read it to you. Pretend you didn't write it, that you're the police commissioner reading this piece for the first time.
I can try.
Okay. An open letter to Police Commissioner Bradley. Mr. Commissioner, I would like to ask you what kind of a crime a man must commit to get himself arrested in this city. Oh, you zero in just fine on traffic violators, vagrants, and people who fail to curb their dogs. But let me ask you about Al Cosden and his creature Bud Stroud. Is extortion not a punishable crime in our city? Arson, bribery, murder? I hereby accuse Al Costin and Bud Stroud of all these crimes. What are you going to do about it, Mr. Commissioner? All right. How would you feel if you were Commissioner Bradley?
I'd feel very uncomfortable, and that's exactly the way I want Bradley to feel.
And if you were Al Costin, reading that piece for the first time?
Well, I'd be sore as hell, naturally.
And maybe gunning for the guy who wrote it?
Maybe. Well, that's a chance I have to take.
If you want to get your head blown off, I guess that's your affair. But the commissioner's going to land on me with both feet, and that's my affair.
We were talking about the predictions.
Okay. Shall I read today's prediction to you, too?
Oh, I remember it, word for word.
I'll read it to you anyway. The holiday prediction of the week. This evening, Senator Kyle M. Bruce of Michigan will tender to the people of this nation his resignation as senator. By doing this, he will undoubtedly spare himself the punishment which his conduct in office has earned him. Now, what if that doesn't happen?
It will.
But how do you know it will?
Kelly, I have got stringers all over the place. Don't you think I know what's going on in Washington?
If he doesn't resign...
He will.
He's got us for libel, defamation of character, and, well, who knows what else.
He's going to resign.
So wait until it happens, and then we'll use it.
Along with every other sheet in town, not to mention radio and TV.
Okay, along with everybody else. News is what has happened, Cash, not what's maybe going to happen.
Are you teaching me my business, Kelly?
Anyway, those predictions are out from now on.
Well, and so am I. The Globe once offered me a front-page box for the predictions. Do you want me to go over there, Kelly?
You know damn well I don't.
Well, it's either or else. I'm going to use a weekly prediction as long as I write a column. And if you don't want it, the Globe does. I'm sorry. That's the way it's got to be.
My ulcer's giving me fit.
I said I'm sorry, Kelly.
Get out of here and leave me alone, will you?
What was bugging Kelly this time? Or was it too graphic for the ears of girl-type secretaries?
He wants to cut out the predictions, Laura.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that to him, but I must have.
Are you going along with it? You're not, are you?
No, not likely. I can go over to the Globe with a better byline and more money. I reminded Kelly of that. What are your plans for lunch?
I was just waiting for you to ask. Yes? Well, how about that? Any further developments? Okay, thanks for calling. Keep in touch. That was Lundquist on the tie line from Washington. Senator Bruce has scheduled a news conference for 5 o'clock this afternoon, and somebody on his staff leaked that he's going to resign.
Well, what do you know?
Oh, the senator himself neither confirms nor denies. But I guess you scored again, didn't you?
Oh, it was eminently predictable.
How do you do it, Cash? I mean, no kidding. How do you keep on doing it?
What? The prediction?
Yes.
I had Lundquist down there in Washington, didn't I? Ask him how he does it.
I don't mean just this one case. There have been some where you just couldn't have had a clue.
Like?
Like how about the time the moonshot had to be scrubbed before blastoff? You couldn't have had any advance knowledge of that, and yet you predicted it.
Okay. Sometimes I get hunches. Everyone plays a hunch once in a while.
Do you have any idea what your batting average is? I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I have come to a very spooky conclusion. I think that you make things happen by predicting that they will.
I what?
It's the least improbable explanation I can think of. It's the only one that makes your percentage of accuracy the least bit possible. You write it, it happens.
You're kidding me. You don't really believe a nutty thing like that.
Well, it's the only answer I can come up with that fits. Everything you've ever predicted has been, well, you might say hanging in the balance, sitting on the fence. A breath this way or that decides which way it falls. So why couldn't your prediction be that breath?
You're really serious, aren't you?
I've thought about it a lot.
Ridiculous. Where do you want to go for lunch?
Oh, I don't know. The 30 Club?
They had roast beef yesterday. I predict they'll have overcooked hash today.
Hash?
It was just a joke, honey.
Well, I don't... Somehow, I just don't feel like joking about it.
Okay. I'm sorry. How about Roboto's? You feel like spaghetti?
Or maybe a Caesar salad. Just let me finish this letter.
that Halliday creeps column in the World Express this morning, bud?
Yeah, I read it.
A guy comes right out and names us, accuses us. Arson, extortion, bribery, murder. I think this Cash Halliday is going to have to go.
Look, Al, I don't think that would be very smart.
Who asked you what you thought?
I mean, it's pretty near as dangerous as knocking off a cop. Like all the papers would get on you, and the radio and the TV. They just don't give up on stuff like that. No, I don't think it would be very smart at all, Al.
No creep is going to pound me to death with a lousy newspaper while I sit around and don't do a damn thing.
All right, take it easy, Al. It's bad for your blood pressure getting excited like this. You know what Doc Henry said? You shouldn't get excited or overexert yourself.
Well, who's overexerting? Ain't nothing wrong with my heart or my blood or any of the rest of it. But I'm calm, see?
Okay, so that's better. And I still don't think you ought to try to hit a newspaper reporter.
Shut up. You hear me? Shut up!
When I die and go to heaven, I hope they serve veal parmesan just like this. How's your salad?
I can make a better one myself. Incidentally, I make a pretty swinging veal parmesan, too, if anyone should ask you.
Imagine veal parmesan in the comfort of your own home. Will you marry me? Will you, Nora?
Cash, please, let's not start that again. Look, I've told you and told you, I will not marry a newspaper man.
Even if you're in love with him?
My father was a newspaper editor. Now, you know that, of course, but... Well, you didn't watch what it did to my mother. Dad was never home for meals on time. He was always angry. Not with my mother, but he took it out on her. He had an ulcer the last 11 years of his life. And my mother cried nights. She didn't think I hurt her, but I did.
Well, that was your mother and father, Laura. This is you and me.
I will not marry a newspaper man.
What do you want me to do? Resign? Go looking for some other kind of job?
No, I don't want you to... Cash, look, are you going to spoil our lunchtime together?
You could really have made it a luncheon to remember, you know that? All you'd have to have said was, yes, Cash, I'll marry you even if you are a lousy, rotten newspaper man. I'll marry you because I love you. And why didn't you say that, Laura?
Cash.
I know. Stop pounding.
No, Cash, two men just came in. No, don't turn around. I don't know who the other one is. But the big one is Al Costin.
So? Maybe he likes the veal parmesan, too.
They're both scowling at us as if they could kill us.
They won't. They're just trying to intimidate us.
Well, they're doing just fine with me. Good Lord. The big one, Al Costin. He's coming over to our table.
Whether Cash Halliday predicts the future, contrives somehow to manipulate it, or just has hunches, his own immediate future is looking decidedly grim. He has made himself a problem to Al Costin, and Costin carries the solution to most of his problems in a shoulder holster. We'll follow the rest of the action closely when I return shortly with Act Two.
Isn't it about time you took a few days to slow down and remind yourself what peace of mind is? Come to Colorado Summit. It's only 75 miles west of Denver on Interstate 70, yet it's a world away. Sail on a vast mountain lake, explore old ghost towns, watch a real western rodeo, ride horseback, fish, swim, or just relax and take in some of the most breathtaking sights in the Rockies. Come on up and see us at the Summit. You owe it to yourself. 75 miles west on Interstate 70 at Highway 9.
Radio Mystery Theater.
That was you. I thought there was another commercial coming up.
No, that was just me. Little outro music.
Well, Dale, I have a prediction of my own.
Uh-oh.
I I have a prediction that at the end of this Radiant Mystery Theater program, we will hear several predictions from Dave. Predictable Dave Predicts.
Predictable Dave Predicts. That
yep,
I am
yep.
looking forward to.
You can say that now, maybe not later. But you can say that now.
Predictable Dave Predicts. I would have never guessed. Never have guessed.
Yeah, I predict right now. I predict this guy's in a lot of trouble as the gangster's coming to his lunch table there.
Yeah, when those thugs are on their way, yeah, not good.
Not good, not good. Yeah. Best way to become from a writer and to become a short story is from a novel to a short story is to tick off a gangster. You know.
There you go. And we will return later to see exactly how that turns out. But, yeah, the predictions are not something these guys want to hear. And I think that would be true in real life, too. There would be predictions that people would not want to hear.
I'm sure. Now, Jeannie Dix, remember, she, every year in
oh, yeah.
one of the tabloids, she used to make a... What, 25, 30 predictions of what the year would bring.
Yeah, didn't they run her in the Cleveland Press, maybe, if not the Plain Dealer?
Oh, did they? I was thinking it was more like National Enquirer type stuff, but maybe it wasn't.
Oh, I think she made her way into the mainstream eventually, as far as print media of the day. Because I remember seeing her in a regular newspaper. I never bought or purchased or... you know, was enthralled much with like your National Enquirer types. So I just recall seeing her in a regular newspaper.
Jean okay.
Dixon presents.
May have been, but the big predictions I remember every year came across in like a, I think National Enquirer would pay her to make that stuff. I mean to predict that stuff.
Yes. Make that stuff. I mean,
and some of it was pretty obvious, and some of it was not. And the stuff that was happened, the stuff that was not didn't. So
there you go. As it usually works out.
Anyway, she hit a little. She missed a little. You know, what I get a kick out of on. News feeds. Well, this guy predicted the 2008 crash, and this is what he says now. He says, yeah, okay, a lot of people always predicting gloom and doom. That doesn't mean they're always going to be right, because there's not always gloom and doom.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, sometimes gloom takes a vacation and doom hops a jet, you know, to Miami. You know,
yeah.
They're not always right there.
True enough. Yeah, I was always skeptical about those who predict the future, like your Gladys Knights and your Shirley MacLaines, especially when they were in entertainment. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I remember, and perhaps I've been inspired by some comic somewhere, but, like, where were these people on September 10th?
Yeah.
Did you not get an inkling? Did they... Was there not even a tickle? You know, come on.
Well, I think Shirley MacLaine was at a hairdresser's. I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Hard to tell.
I liked her as an actress and a dancer, but yeah. To what you know, lady.
Yeah, she did. She did have, she and her brother both are a little bit of oddballs. Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they grew up in that industry, I think, so... I think sometimes when you grow up in a thing like that, you're not necessarily very grounded.
That would be easy to believe because, you know, you're always on the move. You're always on the move. It's hard to establish long-lasting relationships that way, friendships or whatever.
Yeah, and you're not in the real world. You're always around people and celebrities and things like that. Not that
Uh-oh, we just lost Dave. He'll be back to tell us more about celebrities and prognosticating and their opinions, which are worth about as much as mine. I don't know. I can't, while we're waiting for Dave, I just can't listen to like a celebrity's advice on, say, world events or something, because it's like, yeah, well, you know what? You live in a different world than I do. And by the way, you're in the world of pretend all the time. That's your job. That's your craft. And thankfully, you have that skill, because we do like the entertainment that people put up. Well, oh, there he is. There's the man. The man with the plan.
I don't know what to blame.
Back.
Google Voice or Blog Talk. I haven't figured
always
that out yet.
Always blame Blog Talk. When in doubt, blame Blog Talk.
Thanks, Blog Talk.
There you go. they're taking the hit. They're going to be the patsy. That's all.
Yeah. Well, most times they deserve it. Sometimes they don't, but most times they do.
Yeah.
That's all I can say on that matter.
True enough. And
I didn't predict that was going to happen right then.
Well, there's still time to make up for it as we go on to part two of the Halliday prediction from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Many tales have been told about men and women who, given the supernatural ability to look into the future, did not like what they saw there. We're not sure yet whether Cash Halliday is one of these, or whether, as his secretary appears to believe, he can actually alter the future with his predictions. If the latter is the case, he would be wise to use his talent now. For Al Cosden, looking ominous, is approaching the table where Cash and Laura are just finishing their lunch.
You don't mind if I sit here at the table with you for a minute, do you, Halliday?
Of course not. You've met Laura, I believe?
Oh, yeah.
Is there something you wanted to talk to me about, Cosden?
Like, I'm sure you'd never guess what it is, would you?
Well, I don't play guessing games.
Oh, that's funny. Ain't that a funny one, miss? He don't play guessing games. Him and his Halliday predictions, and he don't play guessing games.
What makes you think those are guesses, Mr. Cosden?
I'm going to make you a prediction, Halliday. And you better believe I'm not guessing. You're going to stop writing stuff about me in your lousy column. I mean, as of right this minute, you're going to stop or else.
Put it straight, Cosden. If you're threatening me, I want to hear it in so many words.
I was telling a friend of mine about you this morning, and he said, be a good guy. Give the creep a little warning before you do anything permanent to him. So I took his advice. Looks now like I wasted my time. I should have handled it right then.
Handled it? How?
I'll let you guess, Halliday. He don't play guessing games, my friend. So, you better guess right, Halliday. Because in case you don't know, I'm the one who don't play games.
Why were you in such a hurry to get back to the office, Cash?
I have to make a change in tomorrow's column.
Cash, you aren't going to put something about Al Cosden in your column, are you?
Well, of course I am. The guy threatened me, didn't he? You think I'm going to let him get away with that?
But he meant it.
Yes, I guess he did, Laura. But that's all the more reason, don't you see?
No, I don't. And I won't let you. Now, I'm not going to let you get yourself killed for nothing.
I appreciate your worrying about me, but you know I have to do this.
Okay. But don't come to me for sympathy after you're dead.
I promise not to. While lunching today, I was approached by that pillar of our city's organized crime structure, Al Cosden. He appeared to have read my column for the day. Al Cosden can read, and he was not flattered. That fact alone is hardly newsworthy, but Cosden proceeded to threaten me, albeit obliquely, with death if I so much as printed his name again in this column. I double dare you, Cosden.
Oh, Cash.
Insert that right after the campaign story, Laura, and I don't think we need to show it to Kelly.
He'd kill it. You know he would. That's why you don't want him to see it.
He'd want to kill it, and then there'd be a hassle. Well, I hate hassles. I'm a man of peace, okay?
And you wonder why I won't marry you. Instant widowhood. Some deal.
Okay, that settles it. He's got to go.
Are you talking about the hell of the creep again?
Did you read his column, bud?
Yeah, I read it.
Well, he's got to go.
Look, Cal, it's still like I told you yesterday. You hit a newspaper guy and they'll never let up on you. Not till they see you put away. You want to spend the rest of your life inside?
Not me. I'm going to have an alibi. Ain't no way they can bust it.
Yeah. You got it worked out.
I'm going to be talking with Police Commissioner Bradley and maybe a couple other reliable witnesses at the exact minute when Halliday gets it. How about that?
Well, ain't a bad trick if you can do it.
Oh, I can do it.
You want to tell me how? That's being in two places at the same time.
I ain't going to kill Halliday.
But you just said that
you're going to do it for me.
Oh, no, Al. No, not me. Not in a million years.
Yeah, I think you got a choice, bud.
I ain't going to do it.
Now, you listen to me. You got no choice at all. If you decide you don't want to do this little favor for me, bud, then I guess I'll have to handle it some other way. But I'll take you out first, bud. You can depend on it.
Oh, come on, Al. You're kidding him. I mean, you were not really...
You think not, bud? You'll hit Halliday when I tell you. I'll let you know.
What happened to you all morning, Cash? You'd better go in and see Kelly. He's about to have a stroke or something.
That Cosden bid he didn't see before press time?
What else?
I think I'll use the phone instead of going in there.
Are you planning to take me to lunch?
Mm-hmm. When I finish this call. Hi, Kelly. How's it going? Look, I finished that bit about Cosden threatening me just a couple of minutes ahead of the deadline, and I did... No, I can't come to your office right now, Kelly. I'm at the airport. I'll give you a rundown when I see you. Yeah, I know, Kelly. I'll watch it from now on. Okay, I'll see you later on. Yeah, so long.
He didn't have a stroke?
With his ulcers, he doesn't need one. Let's get out of here.
What are you doing here, Cosden?
I had to see you, Commissioner. It's important.
Walking into the police commissioner's office, you must be out of your mind.
You worry too much, Bradley.
It's not enough. I've got this damn columnist, Halliday, trying to hook me up with you. You got to walk in here in broad daylight and prove he's right.
Nobody saw me come in. Nobody but your secretary out there, and she's on your side, ain't she?
I don't know. What do you want?
I want us to have a meeting together with a good witness, say, around 6 o'clock tonight.
With a witness? What's wrong with you, Cosden?
I'm setting up an alibi.
Oh, no. No way. Forget it, Cosden.
No, I'm kind of disappointed. I figure you'd be glad to help me out.
You should know I won't involve myself. We agreed to that 2 years ago when we first started working together.
Well, all you've ever had to do for me was just quiet down a couple of investigations. And you've been stashing away the bread as fast as I could shovel it to you. I never asked you for a personal favor before.
Well, if I didn't have this Halliday thing hanging over me, maybe it would be different, but it's come at a bad time.
Well, now, what if I was to tell you that if you do me this little favor, you won't have any more trouble with Halliday? Nobody'd have any more trouble with Halliday.
Look, I don't want to know about it. I don't... Halliday, you say?
Yeah. That would make you too unhappy, wouldn't it?
Well, that does put things in a somewhat different light, yeah.
Now, we wouldn't have to be seen in public. Just you and me and maybe a friend you can trust. So I got a good, respectable alibi. Your place. Or my place, if you'd rather.
My place, I think. Yes, I... I could have Jerry Albertson for cocktails. He's a... Well, I wouldn't have to worry about him, and he's respectable enough.
Good. Can we make it tonight?
Must it be tonight?
Or tomorrow?
I'm afraid not, then. I have to take a plane for Chicago around 5:30 this afternoon. I'll be gone till Friday morning.
Well, I guess Friday night will be okay. 6 o'clock? I'll be there a little ahead of time. Okay?
Yes. Yes, Costum, that should be all right.
Hey, got a second, Mr. Halliday?
Yes. Come in and shut the door. You're Bud Stroud, hmm?
Yeah.
Well, what brings you here? Oh, this is Laura Fields, my secretary.
Hi.
Hello. Bud Stroud?
What can we do for you?
Well, it's kind of confidential.
If it's fit for me to hear, it's fit for Laura to hear.
Well, okay, I guess.
So, what can we do for you?
It's more like, what can we do for each other? I mean, I ain't coming in to you asking for favors. I got a proposition, kind of.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, I'll chance it. You see, Hal Cosden is figuring to put out a contract on you.
Have him killed?
Figuring to?
He did come to me with a proposition, only I don't want a part of it.
Oh, well, that's very good of you.
I don't knock off no cops, and I don't knock off no newspaper reporters. I ain't nuts.
Well, if you refuse to do it, though, won't Cosden just go to somebody else?
No, I don't think so. He'd do it himself. He won't want to spread the word around too much. You'll get me first, though. And I ain't kidding myself about that. So unless you can figure out some way to stop him before Friday, we're both going to be pushing up daisies. You and me both.
Friday?
Yeah, that's what he said it for. Don't ask me why. Friday at 6 p.m.
I see. And what do you expect me to do to stop him?
Well, I mean, you're a big columnist and everything.
You can go to the police, Cash.
Forget it. The cops don't worry, Cosden. He's got good connections.
What connections? How high do they go?
Oh, no, I ain't getting into that. I told you what I came here to tell you. What I want to know now is what you aim to do about it.
Well, that's a good question. I wish I had an answer.
Bud Stroud said it wouldn't do any good to call the police.
It can't do any harm. Yes, this is Cash Halliday of the World Express. Let me talk to Commissioner Bradley, please. Oh, all right, then. Let me speak to Captain Horner.
I doubt if the commissioner would have done much to help you anyway.
Most likely not. It would give him something to think about, though. Captain Horner? This is Cash Halliday, World Express. I just got word that Al Cosden plans to put a contract out on me. It doesn't surprise me much either. That's pretty weird. So what you're saying is that you can't do anything for me until after I'm dead? Is that it? Who's making a joke? All right, Horner, I know it isn't easy for you either. Okay, do whatever you can. Did you ever get the feeling you were about to be thrown to the wolves?
Yeah?
Cosden, this is Commissioner Bradley.
Hey, you back in town already?
No, I'm calling from Chicago. You're going to have to call the Friday evening project off.
Call it off?
They got word of it somehow at headquarters. I just had a call from Captain Horner. Halliday himself phoned Horner about it.
I ain't calling a thing off, Bradley. We go right ahead and do everything just like we planned.
Yeah, but what about Horner? He's not, well, let's say he's not one of my best friends.
He's your problem, not mine. No, Bradley, everything stays just the way we set it up. Friday night at 6.
What are we going to do?
Well, one thing we are not going to do is to get hysterical.
Hey, I just had a crazy idea. Do you remember what you said the other day about my predictions? That I actually make things happen just by predicting them.
Well, what's that got to do with the Cosden thing?
Get your pad, Laura. I want you to take down next Friday's prediction.
Short attention span, that's your problem.
The Halliday prediction of the week. Before this day has ended, the remarkable criminal career of Al Cosden will also come to an end. At exactly 6 o'clock this evening, his heart will stop beating. There will be dancing in the streets.
Cash?
You know something, Laura? If you're right about my predictions, I have just killed a man.
Is it possible, actually, to cause an event simply by writing and publishing a prediction that it will happen? I share your doubt. Such a thing would be totally against nature as we know it. However, as we know it is the key phrase there, and it leaves room for at least a shred of belief against all our skepticism. We'll test that small shred further when I return shortly with Act 3.
At the Opal Isuzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opal Isuzu Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opal Isuzu.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opal Isuzu, a great new little car at your Buick Opal dealers.
Johnny Appleseed, may I help you?
I'd like to promote my business.
Johnny Appleseed Housewife Mail Carrier System will deliver your advertising message to any neighborhood in any quantity you wish.
Is it cheaper than the post office?
Up to 50% less.
Good. I'd like you to deliver 100,000 calendars.
Yes, Mr.
Doctor. Dr. Heinz Noodleman.
I didn't know doctors could advertise.
My calendars are breathtaking. 12 of my finest operations in living color.
Living color.
All suitable for framing. No home should be without a Noodleman calendar.
I know one.
February shows me amputating a limb.
I think I'll skip lunch.
And in March, I'm cementing up the wound.
Does the medical society know about this?
June is my favorite. Here I'm pictured making a delicate incision with a chainsaw.
Listen, are you sure you have a license to practice?
Of course. I graduated Sigma Coniferous from the Sassafras School of Tree Surgery.
That's a relief.
Johnny Appleseed. Guaranteed delivery at less than bulk mail rates. Listed under distribution in the Yellow Pages.
No good.
You know what's finding fun about this particular Mystery Theater, Dale, is all the local commercials that are in this. You know, there's some people that some stations never really had a local commercial, but boy, I'm not sure who this was. They had it must be been in Colorado because they're the last segment there were two Colorado places.
Yeah, I believe so. And you know, Dave, it's always fun for me, at least I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, if not all of them, when you leave the commercials in there, the old time commercials, whether it's a program from the 30s or these from the 70s, that have that local flavor, that's pretty cool. It really puts it into perspective historically, because, you know, every city has its own subculture, I guess.
Well, I remember right here in Akron on WAKR, it would air. Scott was mentioning that last week. Hank's Marathon would be in there for quite a few nights. It would buy a sponsorship part during the Mystery Theater. And that's actually that Hank's Marathon is right above where I work right now. He's no longer owned by Hank. I'm not even sure Hank is still around anymore, but it's right there from the, I can look up the building at my building, look up and see Hank's Marathon, who had sponsored locally the Mystery Theater. But it's really nice to hear all these local spots. I'd never heard of that last one that it was actually in the Yellow Pages, so it was a big local delivery system of some sort.
Yeah. welcome wagon. Something like that, but...
Something like that, yeah. Hey. Well, it's good to hear some clever local commercials from time to time.
Yep.
An Opel Isuzu. Did you know anybody that had an Opel Isuzu?
No.
Me either.
I had to think, because I know some people with some strange things, but not Opel Isuzu.
I do remember a guy that even bought a Yugo, those cars that came out of Yugoslavia. And, I mean, what was it? It was a time when cars were only like 10 grand, but you could get one of those for about 3 grand.
Yeah.
And
worth every penny.
And it was a... Yeah.
For the first 5 miles.
They weren't made for Ohio salt, that's for sure. But
nah,
the biggest
with the
problem with them, yeah, the biggest problem with them is that you couldn't get the spare parts over here to fix if something went wrong. You couldn't fix it. So
that was the beauty of the 70s. You could fix a car yourself for very, very little money, you know. But there were a lot of things you could repair yourself with very little money.
If you knew what you were doing, but most everything now is so complicated and computer chip driven that the average person, you can't do it.
That's how they want it. Damn them.
Gotta have those backup mirror cameras, yeah. Gotta have those warnings in the back seat so you don't leave your children in your car when you go off to the health club or something.
Yeah.
Or you go into work. That stuff is just crazy. I'm sorry.
Well, you know that society's crashing when you have to have signs in the bathroom to tell you to wash your hands when you're done. I mean, come on, really? We have to have a sign for that?
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
No. Go ahead, Gar.
You know why the Yugo cars had such a big trunk?
No.
That's where they keep the wind-up key.
The big wind-up key.
It had quite a coil spring on it. Anyway, you guys have fun. I'll catch you on the flip.
No, all right,
we'll see you in a little bit of horrible horror, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, brother. Brother Gar, getting ready for Horrible Horror, Stunning Gar the Ghoul right after our show. Well, let's go ahead then and wrap up the... Are we doing a prediction yet, or is that after we're done?
No, we'll do it after the show, yes.
Gotcha. Very good. Let's wrap up the Halliday prediction from CBS Radio.
Cash Halliday has been given the exact time and date when he may expect sudden and violent death. Friday evening at 6 o'clock. And he has been told that the police can do nothing for him until after the fact, which, of course, is much too late from his point of view. He takes no comfort whatever from all this pre-knowledge as the fateful Friday morning wears on toward noon.
Why don't you, just go away somewhere? Cash, I mean, why don't you just disappear for a while?
I'd have to come back eventually, wouldn't I?
Well, of course, but not until this whole thing is blown over.
But it isn't gonna blow over, Laura. Not as long as Cosden and I are both alive. Eventually, I am going to have to face Al Cosden and get this thing settled one way or another.
But you haven't taken any kind of precaution at all, Cash.
Well, don't forget today's prediction. At exactly 6 o'clock this evening, Cosden's heart will stop beating.
Oh, I wish I'd never said a thing about your making things happen just by predicting them.
Well, the thing is, you just might be right. When I look back over some of the predictions that actually turned out to be accurate, I begin to wonder...
Mr. Halliday's office. On his way up here? Are you sure? Yeah, okay. Thanks for calling. That was the receptionist down in the lobby. Commissioner Bradley is on his way up here, breathing fire, she said.
Probably looking for Kelly.
Oh, no. He was particularly asking for you.
Well, if he wants a yelling match, I have got some ammunition, too.
Halliday, I want to talk to you.
Yes, come right in, Commissioner. Don't just stand there waiting for an invitation.
And don't you get smart with me. I read that miserable column of yours this morning.
Oh, I'm flattered.
Don't be. Where did you get your information about Cosden?
Cosden?
His heart will stop beating at 6 o'clock.
Oh, it was just one of my silly predictions.
Now, look, if somebody is threatening murder and you know about it, it's your duty to let the police know.
Who said anything about murder? I just said his heart would stop beating. He does have a bad heart, you know.
Am I to take it, then, that you refuse to tell me what your information is and where you got it?
What can I tell you? I have no information. It was just a prediction.
All right. But if anything happens to Cosden tonight, you're going to find yourself in very, very deep trouble, Halliday.
Don't give me a hard time about coming to your office again, Commissioner. I know you don't like it, so save your breath.
Oh, I suppose I may as well. What is it you want this time?
Was it you who leaked this Friday night 6 o'clock information to the cops?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I'd be the last person to do that. I told you Halliday himself told Captain Horner about it.
Yeah. But how did Halliday find out?
Well, that I wouldn't know.
Must have been Butt. Nobody else knew. Just you and me and Butt. Yeah. I'll have to speak to Butt about that.
Clock, Laura. I think maybe I'd be smart to get home and lock myself in right now.
I'm coming with you, Cash.
Oh, no. If Cosden is going to come calling, I want you far away. I'm not going to set you up as a secondary target.
I'm going to stay with you.
Darling, I love you for the thought, but no. No, absolutely no.
What do you have in your refrigerator? Maybe we ought to stop at the supermarket and pick up a few things.
We are not going to do anything. Not together. Not tonight. You're going straight home. Better still, pay somebody a visit, but not me.
No way. Cash, I want to be with you.
Why?
I just do, that's all. If there's going to be any trouble, I...
What? No, tell me. Say it.
Oh, all right, you big ape. Because I love you.
Good. And you'll marry me.
I wouldn't marry a newspaper man if he were the last man on Earth.
If I were the last man on Earth, I'd have to give up the newspaper racket anyway. Who'd read me?
Oh, you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm going with you, and that settles it.
I don't know why I want to marry a woman as stubborn as you, but I do. Okay, but if you get killed, don't blame me. You realized, of course, Laura, that by coming to my apartment with me, you are compromising yourself irreparably. Your reputation is in shreds.
You dress Edwardian, Cash, but you talk Victorian. Come on, let's get inside.
Laura, the fallen woman. Okay, that's the way you want it. Here, hold the groceries while I open the door.
You've got a very dark apartment.
And I'll turn some lights on as soon as I've locked up.
Hello, Halliday.
Hello, Cosden. You came a little earlier than I expected you. Put the groceries in the kitchen, Laura.
Yeah, I think maybe you better just set them down in here somewhere. I thought I'd get here a little early. Yeah, I wasn't sure of my welcome. Halliday, did Bud Stroud tell you this was on for tonight at 6 o'clock?
Bud Stroud? No, of course not.
Yeah, I knew it was him. Well, he won't be thinking on any more of his old buddies.
Did you?
Yeah. I paid him a visit just before I came over here to see you. A real busy afternoon.
Cash, does he mean he killed Bud Stroud?
I'm afraid that is what he means, yes.
Well, that can't be true. If he had really killed Stroud, well, he wouldn't tell us.
What he's thinking, I believe, is that we won't be able to tell anybody else. He means to see to that.
Yeah, he's right, miss. He's 100% right. We got some time to waste, though. You got anything in the house to drink?
What would you like?
Well, a good solid slug of bourbon if you got it. Just a little splash of soda.
Okay. It's in the cabinet over there.
Well, so go on. Get it. But be real careful, Halliday. If I see anything I don't like, I'll blow your head off.
Well, I'll be very careful. Laura, while he's watching me, turn on the tape recorder.
Hey, knock it off with a whispering. You want to talk to her, talk loud enough for me to hear. What'd you say to her?
Don't get excited, Cosden. I asked her to see if there's some kind of snack in the refrigerator. I'm hungry.
Oh, no. No, no, no. The little lady stays right here where I can watch her. Come 6 o'clock, you won't be hungry anymore, Cass.
Why 6 o'clock, Costa? I mean, not that I want to rush you, but why wait until 6 o'clock?
Well, so why shouldn't I tell you? You ain't about to talk.
Here you are, Costa.
Oh, thank you very much, I'm sure. After that stupid prediction of yours in this morning's paper, at 6 o'clock, his heart will stop beating. I decided to wait until 6 and, you know, just turn around the other way. Make you dead and wrong both at the same time.
Poetic injustice.
What? Oh, besides, the main reason is I got an alibi for 6 o'clock. I mean airtight.
One of your friends is giving you an alibi? Frankly, I don't think you have any friends whose word would be taken that seriously.
Oh, no? What would you say to Police Commissioner Bradley?
I see.
Yeah. I'm sitting with Commissioner Bradley and one of his buddies right this minute, sipping a cocktail and talking over important things and settling problems and all that.
You trust him?
Yeah, damn right I trust him. I got enough on him to put him away for the rest of his life. And he knows it. I got the evidence. Papers he signed, even. Oh, you're damn right I trust him.
Where are these papers you say you have?
Would you like to know?
Not particularly, I guess. When you come right down to it. It won't do me much good after 6 o'clock, will it?
Cash, don't talk like that.
You're right, though. What good would it do you?
So, tell me or not, whatever you feel like.
Well, you see, over at my place, I got this big painting a fella did of me. He owed me money and he couldn't pay off. So, it's hanging on the wall in my living room. And back of it is a wall safe that nobody knows about but me and, well, Bud Stroud used to know about it.
And that's where you keep the evidence against Bradley?
Yeah, that's right. So what are you going to do about it?
What can I do about it?
You take it pretty gutsy. I got to say that for both of you. How about some more of that bourbon? Well, you know, here it is going on 6 o'clock already. How about that?
Don't you think you ought to wait until a little after 6? Make sure of your alibi?
You think so? I want to take the chick out, too, you know. I ain't about to leave no witnesses around.
Laura, is there somebody at the office who knows where I keep my tape recorder?
Kelly does, I think. Yes, yes, I'm sure he does.
Huh? Well, what's this about a tape recorder?
Oh, it's nothing, Cosden. It's just, you know, setting my affairs in order.
Okay. Where is it?
Go look for it, Cosden. You won't find it in a million years.
Damn you, where is it?
You can't make me tell you by pointing a gun at me, Cosden. You intend to shoot me anyway.
You lousies. Okay, I'll find it myself.
You're cold, Cosden. Dead cold. Would I keep a tape recorder in a closet?
It's all for nothing. You'll never find it.
I'll find a damn thing either.
What's the matter with him, Cash?
I can't breathe.
It looks like a heart attack to me, Laura.
For God's sake, help me. I can't.
3 minutes past 6. My prediction was off by 3 minutes. Get your pad, Laura. I've got 2 predictions for next Friday.
Well, save one of them. You'll spoil your public.
No, these both have to run this coming Friday. Ready?
Okay.
The Halliday Predictions of the Week. If an honest cop will go to the home of the late Al Cosden and open the wall safe behind Cosden's portrait on the living room wall, he will find in that safe evidence sufficient to convict Police Commissioner Bradley on several charges of felonious conduct. We suggest that this be done with dispatch before the commissioner himself gets to the safe.
He will, Cash, or someone will go for him.
No, I'll give Captain Horner these tapes Thursday evening before Friday's paper is on the street. Okay, ready for the second prediction?
Shoot.
The second Halliday prediction of the week. During the next month or so, this column will be filed from London, Paris, and Rome. The columnist's lovely secretary, Laura Fields, will accompany him in his travels to these capitals, quite respectably, since she has consented to be his bride. Wish us a happy honeymoon.
Cash, that's not fair.
What's unfair about it?
You might just as well abduct me as put this in your column, the way things keep coming true.
Fate is fate, Laura. It's out of my hands.
Well, as long as you put it that way, I suppose I might as well relax and enjoy it.
Do we consider the proposition proved? That Cash Halliday was able, simply by predicting that a thing would happen, to make it happen? Or shall we put it all down to coincidence? The latter is the easier way, of course, for it permits us to go on believing that natural laws are unbreakable. But don't think too much about it.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since 1 out of every 3 people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
When your allergy's coming up, hay fever's got to you. What are you gonna do? Suffer on and suffer through. Or give your allergy to contact. Real medicine, real relief.
Pollen. Every one of the 12,000 quarts of air you'll breathe today could contain pollen. If you're allergic, that's red-eyed, itchy, sneezy trouble. And that's why there's Contac. Just one capsule's tiny time pills can actually help block pollen's attack for up to 12 hours relief. All day, all night relief. With the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. Name your pollen. The name of relief is Contac. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your allergy to Contac. Real medicine. Real relief.
Take only when needed. Only as directed.
Commissioner Bradley has been indicted for misconduct in office and is, of course, free on his own recognizance while awaiting trial. Al Cosden and Bud Stroud were given a well-attended and rather spectacular double funeral. Cash and Laura Halliday have settled in a quiet suburb, and we must tell you, Cash's predictions still have an uncanny way of coming true. There'll be more uncanny goings-on when we bring you our next mystery drama. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Morgan Fairchild, Robert Dryden, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour allergy capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Was a tale.
Another fine tale, of which we can learn something from, perhaps.
Perhaps. Only one was ready. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
The best way to make a prediction is to use a time machine. If you don't have a time machine, then your guess is as good as mine. There you go.
Very nice.
Show starts in 1 minute.
Or as the goat says. There we go. Yeah?
Oh, yeah?
There we go.
Well,
yeah.
Take that.
Yeah!
Hey, we got predictions all night long. Well, maybe not all night long, but
yep.
We had a great prediction story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So now...
Yes, we do have Predictable Dave Predicts.
That's right, gang. It's time for Predictable Dave Predicts.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict the next time I make a prediction, it will be a prediction.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict that next year will be 2023.
That's astounding. If it really happens, that'll be amazing.
It'll be amazing.
It'll be amazing. Is there more?
There's more.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict that I will eat pork the next time I have bacon.
That could be true.
There's more. I'll let you know when it's the last one.
Okay. But wait, there's more.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict that the next time I get in my car, I'm going somewhere.
Okay.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict the next time I read a newspaper, I will see words.
Okay.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
I predict the next time I dream, I will be asleep.
Oh, ho, ho.
And?
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
In my very last prediction of this prediction show, I predict that the next time I go to the casino, I will be in the chips.
In salsa at the buffet. Oh, man. Somebody couldn't take it. They jumped out the window. Oh, well.
The chips and the salsa at the buffet. There you go. That's where I'll spend most of my time at the casino, at the buffet.
There you go.
It costs a lot, but it's a lot cheaper than losing it at the tables.
True. True. So, coming up.
Those are just predictable predictions, that's all.
I have some other predictable predictions.
Ooh.
Let's, Yeah.
Tell.
I predict in 1 week. 1 week. Actually, 6 days to be precise. Like, oh, maybe Friday night at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go football crazy. Yeah, with Nightbeat, Theater 5, and A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. That's right. That's what we're doing for Super Bowl weekend. And then we've got a, is it a radio drive-in, Dave? From Lux Radio Theater. Canute! It's Canute! Newt Rockne. That's right. Starring Edmund O'Brien and some guy you may have never heard of him, Ronald Reagan. Yeah, that's prediction number one. Shall I go on? Dave? Oh, we lost Dave again. In fact, we lost him so long, he's back. Welcome back.
I don't hear anything.
We hear you. Yep, so it's football weekend. That's my first prediction. Don, let me just disconnect him and reconnect him. Thanks a lot, Blog Talk. You treat my partner that way, Blog Talk. Why I oughta. Are you back, brother? He was with us for a minute.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, now there's two of them.
Now there's one of me.
Now there's only one.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. I guess I have to reboot. Thank you very much.
Evil Dave is gone. Good Dave is back. So, yeah, that's my first prediction, Dave, is football weekend next weekend. How about we look a little farther ahead into the future? Oh, man, we're going to play homage to Gail Gordon. We're going to have...
Let me tell you something about that weekend, Dale. I got a great interview that Gail Gordon did over the phone. It gives you so much information on him and early radio and how he ended up getting roles like Mr. Rooney and things like that. I don't want to give away any things, but he was there right in the early 1930s on radio and gives you such a great taste of what early radio was like. In fact, he was the first, he was the first Flash Gordon on radio.
Yep, and we're going to have a Flash Gordon episode to celebrate that as well, but that is going to be a fantastic interview. I can't wait for that to hear some of the background story of Gail Gordon.
Yep, have it broken up in numerous parts. So a whole lot of interesting things about Gail Gordon, who mostly we know of as a great supporting character actor. But
yep.
Can't wait to share the programs that we do, including an episode, the premiere episode, I believe it is, of Granby's Green Acres, which later on, Green Acres was loosely based on, the TV show.
Yep. So we're going to have all kinds of stuff coming your way here in February. Also, Demons. That'll be a scary weekend to close out the month. We'll hit it hard in March with Spiders. So back into some horror aspects of old-time radio. That's coming up at the end of February, beginning of March.
Yep.
Some really creepy titles here we got, too. Spiders, Demons, and so much more. Oh, my. Spiders and Demons, oh, my.
Yep.
And we got some time here. Why not a little bonus material for the folks?
Hey, yeah, we have 10 minutes here. Shall we go up to the wheel?
Why not? You know what? I don't think I spun the wheel myself in a long, long time.
I don't think you have. I think you need to go do that.
May I?
Absolutely, please.
Here we go.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Charlie, look, why are you in such a hurry?
Well, now.
Why are you in such a hurry? Where are you going?
I'd like to get an early start.
Oh, stick around. You haven't met Mr. Karloff yet.
That's what I say. Let's get out of here early.
Oh, but you must meet Mr. Karloff and hear some of his hair-raising stories.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'd rather not. Bergen, he might be interested in hair-raisings. Well, it's getting a little thin up there. That will do. He's sensitive about that, too.
Yeah. Yes. No. In any case, Charlie, you can't go without saying hello to Mr. Karloff.
No,
he expressed a desire to meet you.
Oh, yeah? Well, keep the doors open. Wide open.
Charlie, you're not really afraid of Mr. Karloff, are you?
No. But you've got to admit he's no Santa Claus.
No.
Charlie, did I hear you say you were going home?
Oh, boy.
How do you do, Mr. Karloff?
How do you do, Mr. Bergen?
Charlie, won't you say hello to Mr. Karloff?
Hello. Well, good night.
No, no.
Don't run away. I want to talk to you.
Well, I really should go home. I got a lot of homework to do.
Homework? Well, perhaps I can help you. Where do you live?
Well, I live... I moved there. He didn't get me that time.
Oh,
I'm too fast for him, yes.
Charlie, you've got the wrong conception of my character. Actually, I wouldn't hurt a fly.
Oh, but I'm not a fly. I wouldn't trust you further than...
Any further than what?
Well, they don't make distance that short.
Charlie, I came here expressly to invite you up to my home.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Well, I think that's very nice of you, Mr. Karloff, to extend that invitation to Charlie.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it, Bergen.
You have a place in the city, or is it in the country?
Oh, it's way up in the hills, the only house for miles around.
Miles around.
Well, that sounds like a beautiful spot.
Yeah, for a murder.
Why, that's ridiculous, Charlie. You know I'll make you comfortable. I'll stop at nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. Stick around, Bergen. Don't hold me.
All right.
I've really got a lovely place, Charlie, especially at night when the sky is dark and the wind whistles through the trees.
Yeah, the ghosts play pinochle.
Have you a large house, Mr. Carter?
No, it's quite comfortable, though. 8 rooms, a den.
A den, a den, yes.
And one thing I especially like is that I've got loads of closet space.
Oh, yes.
That's where he hides them all day. Don't hold me,
Aldrich. Well, now, don't you want to come up, Charlie?
You're not going to find me hanging around your closet.
Charlie, you're being silly, huh?
Well, it may be silly, but it's safe.
I understand, Mr. Karloff, that your greatest hobby is raising birds.
Yes,
right?
That's true. I have birds. I like them. They make very interesting friends.
What kind do you have? You got vultures?
No.
Oh, now, Charlie, vultures. When I talk of birds, I mean canaries and parrots. Do come up and see my birds.
Spider and the fly. I'll outsmart him, that's all. I'm just too smart.
Oh, Charlie, you've taken my screen character much too seriously. Remember, on the screen, I was only acting.
Yeah, I know, but I still remember Frankenstein. Wow, what a chiller. Ooh.
You saw the picture?
I saw it, yes. I had to have my spine defrosted.
I've often wondered how it turned out.
Didn't you see it?
Well, no. I went into the picture, and after the first reel, I rushed out of the theater. I was too frightened.
Do you mean to say you couldn't stay for the finish?
That's right. But, Charlie, now, don't say anything to anybody. Let's keep this confidential.
Yes.
I'm somewhat ashamed of myself for being so easily frightened.
Is that so?
Why, do you know that while the picture was being made... Now, Charlie, don't say a word about this to anybody, will you?
No, you know me. I don't talk.
There were 2 assistant directors standing by me all the time saying, now, remember, Karloff, it's only a picture. It isn't true. It's only a picture. I'm so nervous about these things.
Is that the way you really are?
Yes, Yes, Charlie, that's the way I really am.
Wait till I tell the gang about this. Why, you know, Mr. Karloff, if you think that's terrible, I had an awful experience one night. I was walking along a lonely road, and a storm broke out. You know, lightning and thunder.
Oh, and aren't you afraid of thunder and lightning? I am.
Oh, well, I'm not. No. So I was just looking for a shelter, you know, and I came to an old rickety broken-down house, you know, cobwebs all over the door.
You didn't go in.
Oh, sure I did. It was a haunted house.
Oh, but that's very dangerous.
Oh, well, it gets worse, too. I tried to light a match, and the wind blew it out, you know.
And you were in the dark alone?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh, it's worse than that.
Yes.
And then I heard funny noises, see, like steps on a stair. But when I looked, there weren't any stairs, see. And then I heard a moaning, and I heard a groaning. And it went...
Oh, but that's awful.
Oh, it gets worse than that. And then suddenly, I saw a hand come out of the wall.
No, no, Charlie, please, that's enough, please. I can't stand it. I don't know. No, please, Charlie, don't. I can't stand it.
Well, would you like something to steady your nerves?
Well, yes, please. If I could have a glass of milk and some ladyfingers.
Ladyfingers? Well, as I was saying, I was in this house, you know, and I passed some skeletons.
Skeletons?
See?
Yes. Oh, no.
Yes, yes, yes. So I snuck up closer, see, on my tiptoes.
No, no,
see?
No, please,
came closer,
please.
And I came closer, see, and suddenly a voice yelled, "Boo!" And the funniest thing, it was only the caretaker in the house, see. Mr. Karloff. Oh, Bergen.
What's the matter?
Look.
What?
Frankenstein has fainted.
The great one, Boris Karloff, visiting with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
What great timing Bergen, Edgar, did Karloff have for comedy even?
Yes.
He was no stranger to comedy programs. He was just, whatever he did, he was great at. What can I say?
Yeah, not even just comedy programs. He was even in a few comical films. There's that one, Boogeyman Will Get You. Fun one with Peter Lorre.
Well, that and Comedy of Terrors.
Ah, yes. With Pete and also with Vincent Price. And Basil. Basil.
And Basil, yeah. Was Peter Lorre in that one as well?
Yeah, he was as Vincent Price's sidekick as kind
right,
of a little crooked undertakers.
I guess it was quite unusual, the three of them, because they all worked differently. With what I mean is Peter Lorre and Vincent Price and Boris Karloff. They did several movies together.
Yep.
And Peter Lorre really liked more of a free form, almost improvisational, doing some of that stuff. Karloff was strictly sticking to the script and wanted everybody to stick to the script. And Vincent Price could go either way. So
that
I just think that
like
would be such
you,
a
me and Gar.
Great time making that movie. What's that?
I said it's kind of like you,
what's
me
that?
And Gar.
Something like that, yeah.
Gar's way
something
off script.
It,
you
right?
Like scripts, and I'm somewhere in the middle.
And you can go either way, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, wait a minute. Don't go around telling people Dale can go either way. please. They might
sure?
Get the wrong idea. That's
or the right one.
I don't care what anybody thinks about that business.
Oh, my. Well, it looks like we have survived another fun evening of Eerie House Radio, Dale. And I predict we'll be back next Friday.
I bet that prediction will come true. And we want to thank especially Fogg's Bin and good old Bob for hanging out with us all night long throughout the entire program. We don't know what's wrong with those guys, but we're grateful for them to be sure. And we will see you Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Thanks for tuning in. Ta-ta.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone. don't come alone.
Good night. Pretty close.
There he is. Very good.
Pretty
good.
Close. Not too far off.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Now, as far as timing, Blog Talk's been pretty good the last couple nights.
Yeah, very good.
It's just the pods that seem to be a few seconds off.
It's so weird that my clock is off from yours, but yours is closer to theirs, so.
Well, it has been. There's been nights it's been terribly off. But what are you going to do? Hey, they cut my fee in half, so they say. I'll find out for sure.
Oh, so they say you haven't seen it yet, huh?
Billing cycle is coming up. I will know soon.
Ah. Yeah, they have me in a free premium trial. Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I think they realize I've been with them for a while. I haven't given them any heartaches yet. Not too many. Or headaches.
Yep. Yeah, they give us too much trouble with cigar on them.
That's right. Oh, God. I don't know if I'd do that to somebody I don't like.
Oh, man, he gave him fit and what for when they broke off, when they cut him and I off. I just set up a new account and Carl refused to do that.
I thought I was a stubborn mule. I am. But, what happened to our music? Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Just reached a silent spot.
Yeah.
I can't find much of this, and I'd love to find more of this kind of music. The old organs with the jazzy stuff from like the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. And the good old Duane Eddy twangy guitar stuff.
That too, but like some of this old with just the old Moog like organs.
Yeah.
Was pretty cool from that era with the bluesy sound.
Yeah.
I do like me some blues. Good mood music. Good host music for the background.
Good host music. Yep. It's good enough for Gilardi.
Yep. And it's good enough for me. Sometimes music behind me too because it helps me with my pacing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like pacing what I'm going to say, sort of.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I had done many audio production at the station, and I had one person do a part, and then I put music under it, and she said, I'm never going to speak again without music underneath me.
I find it a helpful crutch. To be honest with you, it is a bit of a crutch for me that I will admit to.
I tried using crutches once. I kept putting it on my toe. You know, so that didn't work out too well.
Did you ever have to use crutches?
I did once. I had literally a Charlie horse one night that lasted for like 20 minutes, and if you put your hand on my calf, you could literally feel that muscle running up and down my leg.
Well, I appreciate
and
the
so
offer,
I,
Dave, but...
So I went to the doctor, and he looked at it and said, you know, you need to use crutches for a month. If you don't, you will permanently walk with a limp. At that time, I was much younger, so, you know... I kind of have that limp now anyway, but it had nothing to do with not using the crutches.
Ooh, serious stuff. I remember it. Well, for a couple of reasons, I remember it was Friday the 13th. A cousin of mine was getting married that night, and at school we were playing soccer, and I changed direction really, really fast, and my knee rolled. Oh my gosh, I felt it grinding and. It was so bad. I mean, it made me actually nauseous. I was
yeah.
I was about to hurl. It was so, I don't know, whatever. But, yeah, I had crutches for a while. And I learned to get pretty nimble with them because I was a young, dumb guy, you know, 13 years old. Nothing's going to hurt me. But I'll tell you what, immediately after that happened, though, I must have been in a mild form of shock because they said I was ghost white. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like, take you to the nurse's station.
Yeah, I used to be plagued with Charlie horses. None ever again or before as bad as that. But
well, that sounded a little more than a Charlie horse. Yikes!
It was. What happens when you do something during the day? Sometimes then when your body's relaxing at night, that's when it can really hit you, and it did. And I honestly don't know for sure what I did that. Brought that on, but boy, it was a nasty one.
Don't do that no more.
Yeah.
That's
it's kind of hard
advice.
To not do something if you didn't know what you did to make that do that.
Still. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Injuries, you know, the worst thing about injuries is they hurt.
That's true. And you know what? Those people that never experienced injuries didn't do anything when they were growing up.
If they did, it was only half-heartedly.
Yeah, I mean, like you and I growing up went into everything pretty much full force, whether we were good at it or not. And I just don't think if you never received an injury, you just didn't really. You didn't try hard enough. Not that you tried to get injured, but that you really pushed yourself, chances are you would get hurt somewhere, somehow, sometime.
Yes. That used to bother me playing baseball. Is, you know, you that kid that was on your team that didn't want to be there, their parents probably made them join. And they're not trying, and that used to bug me. Why the hell are you here if you're not trying? I don't care if we're losing by X amount of points. We can still win. The game ain't over till it's over. And
that's
just,
right.
Like, I just hated that quitter attitude. Because, like, you're never out of it, man. If you're sucking air, you're never out of it. That's life, too, folks. Remember that. If you're drawing air, it ain't over. Remember that.
Unless you're a gill breather, you know.
Well, yeah.
Then if you're sucking air, you're probably in trouble.
True.
Oh my
stars. And again, thanks for all the listeners. Last weekend was like incredible. A lot of listens. Of course, it doesn't hurt that we had a good guest. And Dave, you want to share real quick a little bit more maybe about your experience with The Other Side of Darkness?
It was amazing. Actually, it was on the brink of this storm Wednesday night, and it was raining really hard, and of course promised to become a snowstorm. And yet over 250 people ventured into the Highland Theater in Akron. And I tell you what, it's been such a long time since I've actually been to the theater to see a movie. And to see one on a screen, a stage like that is just absolutely amazing. They had some question and answer with a few of the actors. Scott was there, and the producer and the director and a couple other actors. And it was just an amazing evening. People didn't even really want to, as bad as it was, most people didn't just run out when the movie was over, which is what you expect, which is what I expect. You know, it's like, oh man, this game's almost over. Let's get out of here to beat the traffic, you know. But no, most everybody stayed through the question and answer, and then they actually did have some soundtracks and DVDs available, which they had not said they would, probably because they didn't know if they'd have them back in time, and they did. And I did pick up it's a double DVD set. One is a Blu-ray, and the other is a regular DVD. So I was just very impressed with the movie. The whole quality of it was unbelievable. They used a lot of drone photography, and it was all shot outside of maybe, like you said, 17 seconds going over the bridge to West Virginia, although technically it was supposed to have taken place, most of it in West Virginia, but it, all of it was shot in Ohio and all through the area here, the ledges and areas
really?
Like that. And so it was really cool to see it and to experience the premiere.
Well, it had
like
to be
that.
Equally cool going there and saying, hey, this guy was just on my radio show.
Yeah, I saw Scott and I talked to him real briefly there. I saw him again. And I saw Maureen, his wife,
oh,
who's been on several of our shows, both a radio place and a Weirdness Really Bad Movie she co-hosted. And one of the old Weirdness radios going back to radio shows going back about 1980-81. She was a guest on that night.
I'm sure you gave
her a hug out of Maureen, and I got a hug out of Scott. And he texted me later, hey, I wish I could have spent more time with you. Hey, he said, hey, it was a great night. It was your night. You know, you don't need to be spending that with me.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you shared how much we appreciated him coming to visit us.
I did. I told him what a hoot and a holler it was when he was going through all that stuff with Jimmy Durante.
Yeah.
It was absolutely hilarious. And, he had a good time. He had a good time.
Good. That's what we want for people who come to visit us. Good times,
right.
Nothing else. And we
speaking of good times, I just saw a commercial with Jimmy Walker.
Uh-oh.
I never cared for his shtick. He's doing some kind of Medicare commercial now.
Yeah.
And I was never into his Dynamite. I just never saw what was funny about the stuff he did that everybody went gaga over. I just never really understood that. He made a good living from it.
He milked that Dynamite for the longest time.
He did on the commercial again, too. You know, that's kind of what I caught my attention and drew over to. Otherwise, I wouldn't have probably realized who he was. But that was just one of those things. And there are several comedians, you know, that at times, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great they made it and they made a living of it. But he's one I just truly don't understand. So, but good for him.
Yep.
I'm not jealous.
Yeah,
I just didn't understand.
He got his, at least for a while.
He did. I think he did a couple of movies.
Plus minutes of fame.
He did.
We're still working on it.
We've got 3 or 4 minutes, but we got a lot more to go.
True. God willing.
Well, it's like my old college television production class professor said, you know, there's a whole lot of difference, but only two letters difference between famous and infamous. So.
Yeah. No, jeez. Hey, I'll take one or the other.
Yeah. Sometimes the infamous sticks around longer than the famous.
True. There's a certain allure about a good villain. I mean, think about it. You had actors like Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, Bela Lugosi, who were beloved as villains in their various roles often.
I thought that clip was so funny where he was actually afraid of scary things. I thought that was so funny, and he played that so well.
Yeah, he did. Yep. Yes, he did. He's been in a lot of good radio we've had here, and we'll have Boris back. Don't you worry.
We will. He's still got at least another Inner Sanctum we haven't used, and I'm sure there's plenty of other guest visits and things like that that we'll find him in as well. So, Boris, you ain't done yet.
Yeah, unlike Lon Chaney Jr., there's a lot of Boris out there on radio.
Yeah.
We're so happy to bring him to you, along with all the other stars, even the non-horror stars. These people were that's what's hard for me to imagine sometimes, because I'm from the era of television, but
yeah,
these people were huge stars in their time. I mean, some of them, yeah, we know from the films, you know, like when we have Bob Hope or Bing Crosby or somebody like that, they were huge stars, but some of these radio stars were massive stars, and everybody knew who they were.
Yeah, yeah. And you look like we had Ronald Coleman on last night, you know, and
mm-hmm.
he was a star of stage and movie, is stage, screen, and radio as well. He a tremendous actor, and you have Bob Bailey, who had such a great voice but didn't have a body to match it. And once radio died out, his opportunities were pretty much nil.
He's kind of like me, a face for radio.
Yeah, me too.
Bah.
I certainly have the face for it.
Well, gang, we want to thank you for joining us.
As you say, speaking of faces, I'll go check in on Gar's face and see how he's doing on Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
And I will attend to the Hooting One and probably do some wrestling or playing Monster. His favorite game is Monster.
Well, in that case, we should turn off the lights, bring up the three spotlights, and into the middle walks Jimmy Durante.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for two to lose. Arrivo, up we the same, and
Inca-dinka-doo.
Good night.
Where's the goat?
Good night.
I miss the goat. There he is.
Good night, folks.
Good night, goat.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week, when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.